Welcome to Talking Shop, a weekly podcast from Retail Sector, your trusted source of retail industry news and analysis. Each week, we meet a new guest and learn their story, all the highs and lows, triumphs and disasters they've faced, and how they got through to the other side. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast platform you listen to. And to get more industry insight, head to retailsector.co.uk and subscribe for unlimited access. If you're interested in sponsoring episodes of the podcast, drop us a line at podcast@retailsector.co.uk.
My name's Heather, host of this week's Talking Shop. And this week, we're joined by Charlotte Broadbent, the UK country lead for online wholesale marketplace, Faire. We discuss how Faire has revolutionised the wholesale game, the ways in which it supports independent retailers and brands, and what the future of the high street looks like in the coming year. Hi, Charlotte. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into Faire, can you just take us through some of your early roles and how they might have shaped you professionally?
Heather, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm really looking forward to the conversation. I actually started my career in private equity, and I know careers aren't linear, but I've probably had a particularly wiggly journey. I think slightly romantically, having done a degree in geography and wanting to leave all options open, I wanted to have the best training in business that I could do. I think I'd probably watched too much of The Apprentice as a as a kid and saw a training in private equity as that opportunity to sit in the seat of being an investor and also work across a huge amount of industries. I first had my training in renewable energy deals and worked across transactions in hospitality, agriculture, but really found consumer to have a huge draw for me. I think there's something about consumer businesses being really about hearts as well as minds, you know, compelling someone to buy something and to, more importantly, to come back and buy something again, I found super interesting. And quite early on in my career, I joined the board of a business called Wyvale Garden Centres, which at the time was the UK's biggest garden centre business. We had 150 sites up and down the country. And I think that was an incredible training for me. I was on the board alongside Justin King, who had previously been CEO of Sainsbury's, who was a fantastic support and mentor to me as well. And then later on, in my first 10 years in PE, I got the opportunity to lead my own deals and really they're bedded down on the consumer and retail sector. So I led investments in a jewellery business called Tamara Camoli, which I later became COO of during the pandemic, which was a baptism of fire in retail, and also invested in cosmetics businesses. So yeah, I had a very varied career, but from the kind of financial side as an investor, and had always been really interested in sitting more at the front of the bus rather than the back of the bus and being an operator. In fact, I felt a little bit embarrassed that I'd had this all this experience of being on the investor side, and you're advising management teams and companies and trying to guide them in what to do, developing their strategic plans, hoping to grow value for shareholders and ultimately sell those businesses. But I hadn't really rolled up my sleeves and done it myself. And I felt very conscious of that 10 years into my career. So it was at that point that I had a conversation with my old bosses and took the jump into the operating side in February 2020, which was not a particularly fortuitous time to join the management team of a retail business. But I always say that or when I reflect, I think you always learn the most when things are hitting the fan. And that was definitely the case there. We had shops across Germany, the US and Spain, and probably 250 odd wholesale relationships on top of that, which was incredibly difficult to manage. And we had no idea if anyone would even want to buy jewellery during during the pandemic. And if I just skip forward to today, having had that experience, I knew I loved an operating role. But I'd always worked with quite traditional businesses. The nature of private equity houses is they're looking for mature companies that have profitable growth that you can put some leverage behind.
Yeah.
So they tend to be more mature traditional companies. And I realized I had a big gap in my knowledge around tech and the digital world. In traditional companies, they always have a digital transformation officer or some kind of task force focused on digital transformation. But I knew that to really understand it, I needed to join a business that was doing that from day one,
mm-hmm.
Which was one of the draws to FAIR, which is the business that I lead in the UK now and have been with for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, coming from that private equity background, would you say that gave you a sort of good vantage point that you were able to bring to FAIR, sort of seeing how business worked with that sort of different perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it genuinely was the most incredible training ground that I feel truly grateful for. I think a number of things stand out. One, from a very early stage in my career, I got the opportunity to work very closely with best-in-class management teams and learn from people who had honed their craft at running businesses.
Mm-hmm.
These were the CEOs or COOs or regional managers that we put into businesses, and getting that opportunity to work with them close hand was an incredible privilege. And I definitely bring those learnings to bear now I'm in a different role.
Mm-hmm.
I also think as an investor, you're often context switching. You know, I mentioned the range of industries that I had worked in, but it's also a range of situations that a business can be in, because the work is not done once you've made an investment. There can be quite often huge operational change required in a business in order to grow it and realize the value that you're looking to get out of it. And of course, selling a business is a completely different skill set.
Mm.
And there's might be financing needs or management change along the way. So I feel that experience across the business cycle was super valuable. And lastly, I think it's just a very challenging environment with challenging stakeholders. You know, your investors are holding you to account on what you're delivering, and you need to be extremely structured in the way that you approach making investments and managing them, but also be prepared to be held to account and answer tough questions. And I think to that extent, I felt quite battle-worn by the time I joined FAIR and feel pretty resilient.
And just prior to FAIR, when you were with the jewellery brand, was that sort of your first hands-on dealing with the world of wholesale? Did that give you any sort of unique insights in that area?
Yeah, it was. So Tamara Camoli is a fine jewellery business that was founder-led that we invested in. They produce beautiful coloured stone jewellery that's really unique. And the founder had done an incredible job of building that business up in the prior 20 years. And she was really the lead salesperson. And yes, when I joined the business, we were starting to think about succession and what that look like. And what I realized very quickly was that that's definitely relevant to my role at FAIR today, is that those wholesale relationships are super personal. You know, they've been built over years of getting to know the customer, what their customer ultimately is looking for, and eventually kind of developing the product with those customers in mind. I think what's different about wholesale is that your customer is a retailer that themselves, so it's a different type of relationship. They're going to be buying much more deeply into your products, and you need to help them tell your brand story for you, which is something that's super relevant at FAIR as well. So yeah, it was a baptism of fire from an operational perspective because of the timing. But an incredible immersion in the world of retail and wholesale. And I think that we learnt from having our own stores, starting a nascent online business. I think it's very challenging to sell super high ticket products online, but we were starting to make inroads on that. And on the face of it, the wholesale business it's lower margin because you're selling to a retailer with a who needs to make their own margin on. So on the face of it, it's less sexy from a margin perspective. Mm. But if you can develop sustainable volume with those businesses and manage the costs that you're ascribing to your wholesale business, it can be a really profitable way to grow. And we found that.
Yeah. Would you say, does it present any other unique challenges outside of that? And if so, how do you sort of overcome those?
Managing a wholesale business, do you mean, Heather? Look, I think wholesale has been traditionally done largely offline, and even until very recently, it is largely an offline world, which means that it was led by trade shows, sales agents, distributors, required a lot of investment and all that time and travel of going around and finding products, and was also super inefficient. Mm-hmm. That's one of the challenges I saw in wholesale from the business side that I was in, because we would go to trade shows a couple of times a year to try and meet with customers, but we were beholden to whichever customers came through that trade show, and we were trying to do deals at two peak buying seasons, which meant that if we didn't have a good show, the numbers for that year were going to be really tricky. Mm. So one of the things that I was really impressed that the insights of the founders of Fair had is that they were looking to solve a lot of the inefficiency that we see in the wholesale market because of that. Retailers, for instance, no longer want to buy seasonally, you know, do big cash outlays twice a year, because their own revenue is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And it presents a big risk to them if they don't ultimately sell through that stock. So that was one of the first insights that I think Fair was looking to solve around bringing the wholesale buying process to be 24/7. And reducing the burden on retailers to do these huge orders in one go. And that's definitely an insight that I took from Tamara Camoli over to Fair.
Mm, mm. And so, yeah, just to get more into Fair, am I right in thinking, so was that the first online wholesale marketplace?
It's always tricky to say. I think we were the first, and the most important thing is now that we are the largest B2B wholesale marketplace globally. Mm-hmm. Which is really exciting. The business was founded in 2017 out of San Francisco, actually combined San Francisco and Waterloo, Canada, which has been really important to us because in Waterloo is where we have most of our engineering team and a great relationship with the university there. That's an incredible source of talent. Our founders had worked together at Square, the payments business. Mm. And while that might not seem the most natural leap to the marketplace, actually one of the most complex things about any marketplace business is the payments part, because you're receiving money from customers, splitting up commissions often, and paying out the customer on the other side of the marketplace. So payments is part of that complexity. And we launched in Europe out of the UK in 2021. So we're just about to celebrate our 3-year anniversary.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. And on the note of that European expansion, would you say there'd been a gap in the market, in the European market prior to Fair moving this way?
Yeah. I think if it hadn't been for COVID, we would have been able to launch here earlier and start helping retailers sooner. Mm-hmm. Perversely, I think the COVID created this huge opportunity for our retailers because they were suddenly doing a lot more of their buying online rather than this traditional way of doing things. And because a lot of them were considered essential stores, they had a customer base that they hadn't had in the past. But yeah, in Europe, as I mentioned, the traditional way of doing things with trade shows, agents and distributors was the status quo. Mm. And I think the revolution in wholesale that FAIR is leading is about bringing wholesale buying online. But more importantly, and the bit I love, is kind of giving the tools to independent brands and retailers that previously only the big boys and the multiples had. Yeah. So leveling the playing field in that sense.
Yeah, brilliant. It does sound quite revolutionary. And I guess, can you explain a bit more to our listeners how it works from the perspective of these independent brands and retailers? How does FAIR work for them and help them? And how does that work sort of structurally?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a marketplace where independent brands can create a shopfront on our website, which we help them make look and feel as true to their brand as possible, which we have been really thoughtful and intentional about. Mm. If you go to fair.com, you'll see that our branding is quite muted. Our colours, company colours, lead with beige. That's not super common in the world of retail. The orthodoxy is to normally go for bright colours, but actually the reason we do that is because we want the brands on our platform to stand out and be able to tell their story. It's kind of giving them a platform rather than shouting about FAIR. Mm-hmm. So that's super intentional. And brands will create a storefront, upload products. They can sync with Shopify if they have a D2C store that's already uploaded, which makes that process super easy. Mm. And then through our platform, they are discoverable to the hundreds of thousands of retailers who are now shopping on FAIR. And I think what's really exciting about that is the distribution that it gives brands that they otherwise might not have had. I love hearing stories from customers where they've done international expansion that they never expected to. There was a card business that I met at a show recently who was telling me about how they're stocked in Brooklyn and Austin, Texas, and they've got all these relationships and new customers that they never expected to have. And the same now in the UK, reaching parts of the UK that they never expected to. So distribution is a huge part of the benefit that FAIR brings. And we're also simplifying that wholesale process for brands because it's done on one platform. We have quite a sophisticated back end where where brands can see the orders that they've received. We help them with logistics, payouts, and really the end-to-end process. So we will provide brands with low-cost shipping options because our scale allows us to pass on lower costs to them. Mm-hmm. And then what I think is really exciting is the retailer side. We focus purely on the independent market, and I think that's really important to understand. In the UK, it's difficult to estimate, but we think there's about 250,000 independent physical retailers. Mm-hmm. And if you add onto that the number of online retailers or people who are doing a bit of both, the market is huge, which is really exciting. But they've been through a tough time, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that later. These independent retailers typically own and work in their own store. So particularly over the last few years, driven by increasing costs, business rates, and maybe some wavering consumer demand, I'm hearing that shop owners are back behind the counters in their stores. So they're time poor. And the process of sourcing stock, financing it, merchandising it, is a real challenge to them. And they don't have as much time to source interesting things as they would like to. On the other hand, the consumer's demanding is more and more shrewd and demands a special experience when they go into an independent retailer. Mm. If they start having products that look the same as everyone else, that are stocked on John Lewis or Amazon, or they can buy in Sainsbury's, they're going to lose the hearts and minds of their consumers. So they're really, really challenged in that sense. And I think what we at FAIR do is provide them access to millions of products 24/7. Mm. I often hear from retailers that they shop our site in the bath at night or mm-hmm. sit down with their husband around the dining table and we'll browse FAIR, and they really enjoy that process. Yeah. And they can source things that they can rest assured the shop next door is not going to have because of our selection. Mm. And we then help them with things like financing. So we provide 60-day payment terms to these independent retailers, which is so valuable because it allows them to sell through stock before before they have to pay us for it. And often, you know, the traditional modes of credit we all think of, banks and credit cards, aren't there for these small businesses. So that's really important to them. And then we help them with the logistics side as well. So there are many options to get free shipping and bring down their costs. So overall, the package of fare is about kind of saving those retailers time and helping them grow their businesses. And saving time means they're spending more time on the things that they love doing, which is kind of really about exciting their customers.
Yeah. I know it's going back to sort of unique products. I believe, don't you have a feature on your site where it's things that you won't find on Amazon? I think that's a filter. I thought that was good.
We have a team focused on helping retailers find the products that are relevant for them. And it's super data driven. So the more that a retailer shops with us, the more that we get to know them, and we get really smart on showing them products that are relevant, which is, I think, really exciting. And we also have tools, like you've just mentioned, to help them whittle down from, you know, if we've got millions of products, we want to help them whittle down the ones that are right for them. So absolutely, filters is a big part of that. And Not on Amazon is the most popular filter for our retailers. We also have other values-driven filters, like women-owned businesses, eco-friendly products, and values-based shopping is a big trend that I'm hearing from our retailers, and it's because the consumer's demanding it from them. I was speaking to a retailer this morning in Ross-on-Sea in North Wales, and she mentioned the Not on Amazon filter. Mm. But she also put into context about why that's so important for her, because she, as an independent, she can't compete on value. And she shouldn't be trying to compete on value with the likes of Amazon, or, you know, she mentioned Sainsbury's as well, local to her. And she had found that one of the brands that she was stocking had recently launched on there. And for her, that made it a non-starter, because she really needs to be providing her customers with a completely unique experience. Mm. Don't get me wrong, they need to compete. They need to be competitive on value, but that's not how they win versus the likes of Amazon. So she'd actually let go of a brand that she realised had gone national in that sense. Mm-hmm. Our retailers often tell me, you know, to be independents and successful independents, they have to maintain their independence, and that means not looking like everyone else. Mm. It's super important.
Yeah, yeah. I guess sort of on the note of the brands that do feature, how does that process work? Do they approach you and sign up? Do you ever reach out to brands, or how does that work?
Yeah, so brands can sign up on fare.com, and there's a process where they can onboard and launch their wholesale business with us. We do also have a fantastic brand partnerships team. I think particularly having been in Europe now for 3 years, we know what works really well on our platform. And we also see from the demand side of what retailers are searching. So we can pull through from that on what the trends are or gaps that retailers are looking for. So absolutely, we have both an outbound and inbound way to bring brands onto the platform.
I see. I know you're the UK country lead. Can you tell us a bit about sort of the specific duties that come with that role, and what are you sort of personally in charge of?
Yeah, sure. So I lead fares operations in the UK. Out of our office in London, we also run Europe. But in London, we have the sales team, which focuses both on the brand partnership side that I've just mentioned, but also retailer partnerships, finding retailers to introduce to our platform for the first time. We have a small but mighty marketing team that works on, again, introducing fare to particularly retailers for the first time, because, you know, we're just kind of at the tip of the iceberg in terms of developing this market with them. And then I spend a lot of time working very closely with our product teams, which is thinking about what is the next thing that we need to do to improve our product for our retailers and brands. How can we make their lives easier? What are we not doing now that would make the experience more seamless for them? Which I really love, because that's where we create real value for our customers. And lastly, we have a go-to-market team, which is thinking about kind of with those sales and marketing efforts, how do we actually connect with customers?
Yeah. And in the role, have you come across any unique challenges that you haven't seen before? And if so, how did you deal with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've made a significant career switch going from the world of PE, my brief time in industry into this role. I think when I first joined Fair at the beginning of 2022, I felt like I'd set myself the challenge of learning three new languages almost, which is American business language, which is definitely the first one. Fair, because it's such a loved company and has got its own kind of language of FAIR acronyms, which I had to immerse myself in, and of course the world of wholesale. And as a tech business, really understanding to speak the language of our product and engineering people was super important. That's still a work in progress, but definitely was a hazing period for me in the first 6 months in particular. And quite different to my previous, much more corporate life. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a personal challenge that I hope now I've taken in my stride and I'm proud of myself for going through. And then I'd say for our customers, I think making sure that the challenge that I see is making sure that we are constantly keeping ourselves honest, that what we're building is truly for their value. When you have a customer base that are small businesses in independence, we need to make sure that we are constantly in touch with them and really honing our priorities to make sure they line up with their priorities. And it's very easy in a business when there's so much to do to get a bit lost in that. Right. I think the challenge is always bringing it back to the customer and making sure actually that we're really spending as much time with them as possible and bringing their voice into our business, which I think we do a great job of, but it is a significant challenge.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And since joining Fair, have you noticed any sort of significant changes in the wholesale market? Has that evolved at all? I know Fair itself has sort of marked a sort of new stage of that world. But have you since then noticed any changes at all?
Yeah, I think Fair is part of a digital revolution in wholesale for whom a number of businesses are supporting this space, which is really exciting. I think I've seen a lot more of the democratization of tools using technology brought to wholesale that previously would have just been for the very large businesses. Businesses like Shopify, who we're partnered with, have also been part of that. And I think bringing efficiency to the wholesale market is part of what's made it sexy again, if I can say that. I think during the last 10 years, we saw this huge boom in D2C, particularly through COVID, with everyone starting their own drop shipping business. And I think with the recognition that the cost of customer acquisition has made that market much more tricky, wholesale has come back into the fore. So businesses who, brands who previously weren't focused on building their wholesale businesses are coming back to that as an opportunity for sustainable growth, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah. And you mentioned tech there. I guess just sort of on that note, do you think we'll see more AI be used in the wholesale world, for example? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's super interesting because on the face of it, and with all the kind of content out there around AI, you'd have thought perhaps it could be the mainstay of big business again. But actually chatting with our retailers, there are so many tools that they're already leveraging for their small businesses that are AI powered. Bard is a great one that a retailer I was chatting with last night is using to help build her sales and marketing pitches this year and design her events calendar. Other tools like Shopify Magic and Canva Magic are super popular as well. And at Fair, we've been using AI for a long time to drive this data-driven discovery that I just mentioned. Mm. So getting smarter and more precise on the recommendations that we are showing retailers and building those connections between brands and retailers. I think I've seen a stat recently that at Fair we've built 6 million connections between brands and retailers, which wow. is astonishing. And the power of that recommendation tool will only grow that further.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I guess just sort of to finish up, talking about sort of changes in the industry, what's your perception of the current retail environment, and what are your sort of predictions for the years ahead, the year ahead, I should say?
Thanks for this one, Heather. it's a super interesting time. We've now, we're talking in February. We've now seen the data from what the end of last year looked like. And in the UK, it's tough out there. And I think there's no denying that. The UK had 1.7% year-on-year sales growth in December. It is growth, but against inflation backdrop of 4%, it's nothing to write home about. And while there's positive news about inflation stabilizing, and that should put more money in consumers' pockets, that takes time to filter through to customers. So there's no denying it's tough out there. But from where I sit, I think there's good reason for cautious optimism. I think one of the trends I've seen in retail in the UK is that there's been a real bifurcation between winners and losers, even in a category. So grocery and health and wellness have been categories that have done super well, even in that backdrop of overall low growth in the market. Mm. And then in those categories, there's been some real winners. And it's the same in the independent retail space, where great operators are being rewarded by their customers. And indeed, recent data from the local data company showed that there were 20,000 retail openings in the second half of last year, which is a huge amount to be optimistic about, that people are entering the market. And at Fair, we have a program called Open with Fair, specifically to help those retailers who are just getting started, where we will extend credit terms to them that are much larger than for other retailers to help them buy the first load of stock for their business, which really takes one of the many loads off their mind. So cautious optimism and focusing on the customer. I think this year retailers need to focus more than ever on why they exist, why they deserve to exist versus their competition, and what the reason is for a customer to come into their stores. And I think the retailers who ruthlessly focus on that will win and prevail overall.
Yeah. And I guess for Fair, what does the year ahead look like? Any exciting plans you can tell us about, or developments in the work?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier, but I will plug it again, that we are celebrating 3 years in Europe, which is super exciting. So much has happened since then, and we've grown our community in a really exciting way. We're actually going to celebrate that with a customer party to thank our best customers here in London, which I'm personally really, really looking forward to. Yeah, they definitely deserve a drink after the challenging year everyone's had. So we're really looking forward to that. London Fashion Week is coming up, and apparel is one of our biggest growing categories, which is really exciting that we're helping that market. And we have a partnership with Lone Design Club, who help independent brands launch in physical retail space through pop-ups. which is a really interesting partnership and one that has a lot of customer benefit that I'm looking forward to. And then lastly, the Open With Fair program I just mentioned is something we launched in the UK last year, and I'm personally going to be leaning in on that program to see what we can do to help more new businesses enter the retail space. You know, we often talk about the future of the high street and everyone's looking for regeneration, but it takes an entrepreneur with some guts and some spirit to take that leap. And I think Fair can be part of helping on that journey. So yeah, we will be growing that program this year and hopefully helping many more retail stores open.
Amazing. And speaking of the future of the high street, we finish every episode with a question left by a previous guest. Tilly Peel was our last guest, founder of the Pop-Up Club. And she's asked, what does the future of the high street look like?
Well, I think we've actually had a nice segue, haven't we?
Yeah.
High streets in the UK are gap-toothed, to say the least, at the moment, with a lot of empty shops. And I think the programmes like Open With Fair, but also leaning into some of the regeneration projects that councils are running to encourage new entrants, will be a big part of the story there. In refilling those gaps and re-energising the high streets. I think that physical retail is here to stay. I think we've really proven that since COVID, that yeah. it has a place. And while experiential customer experience is maybe an overused word, I've seen firsthand from our retailers how they become incredibly important pillars of their community that are driving connection, and they're going nowhere. So I'd like to see more regeneration and more retail openings, and I hope that Fair's going to be part of that journey to bring that to fruition. And it's going to be a challenge to get there. We're going to need government support, local and national level, in order to make that happen. But yeah, the high street's going nowhere.
Good. That's what we want to hear. And yeah, just finally, do you have a question for our next guest?
Yes. I get to ask a really challenging one now, don't I? I think along the lines of what we've just been talking about, I'd love to hear the next guest, the next guest's views on what are the biggest challenges for independent retailers in competing with the big boys now in the next year, and what's their perspective on that?
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Charlotte. It's been lovely to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Talking Shop, a weekly podcast from Retail Sector, your trusted source of retail industry news and analysis. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast platform you listen to. And to get more industry insight, head to retailsector.co.uk and subscribe for unlimited access. If you're interested in sponsoring episodes of the podcast, drop us a line at podcast@retailsector.co.uk.